Mr. Misfeld.
Thank you. Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Jeff Misfeld, and I represent Nurse James Riano, the plaintiff appellant. I'm here asking the court to set aside Nurse Riano's termination from the Veterans Administration because the Veterans Administration failed to provide him with constitutionally sufficient due process when it denied him the opportunity to confront and cross-examine his anonymous accusers. Mr. Riano, at the time of his termination, had about 30 years of experience as a medical provider and almost 5 years with the Veterans Administration as a medical provider. In about 2007, he's asked to run an STD clinic to treat returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan because the clinic had noted that there were a number of individuals returning from these wars with genital warts. Mr. Riano was asked to run the clinic, and he agreed, given his experience many years before as a Navy corpsman in the 70s, having administered genital wart treatments. The VA verified that Mr. Riano was capable of running the clinic by merely asking him to treat a veteran who had a wart on his hand. Mr. Riano passed that test.
Okay, we're not here on plenary review of the agency's decision. We're here on a Matthews versus Eldridge claim, as exactly. I understand the scope of this appeal, which is that his due process rights were violated because he wasn't permitted by the decision-making board to cross-examine the involved patients.
Exactly.
And it seems to me that that claim isn't going to get out of the starting blocks because he admitted performing the examinations in the way that the patients reported it and that the agency, the VA adjudicators, found was contradicted by appropriate medical practice. So cross-examination would not have added anything.
Well, I respectfully disagree. Mr. Riano explained that the treatment he provided was done pursuant to his training.
Right, but that's what he explained. The agency adjudicators were entitled to reject that explanation, but cross-examining the affected patients wouldn't have supported that claim that he was making. It was contradicted by the medical experts who said, no, this isn't medically acceptable practice, but there was no factual dispute about what the examination entailed.
Well, I think there is a factual dispute with respect to a number of the patients' accounts of what happened.
Right, but not about the basic
facts
of what he was doing during the examination, which the medical experts from the VA said was not medically appropriate.
I think it's important to note that every witness from Mr. Riano's perspective as well as from the VA's perspective agreed that there are no specific protocols to be used to examine an individual's genital area.
Okay. Right, but the patients aren't going to be able to shed any light on the medical question, right?
Right.
It would just be detail about what occurred during the course of the examination. But if the question at the termination hearing was whether the basic facts of the type of examination he was performing was medically appropriate or not, that's a medical judgment. There was medical testimony presented by both sides, and the VA made its determination. The patients aren't going to be able to contribute to that one way or the other.
Right, but the patients' descriptions of what happened was used by the Disciplinary Appeals Board to ascribe a nefarious intent on Nurse Riano's part.
Right, that may have been true, but the basic decision to fire him was made because what he was doing was not medically appropriate, as the medical experts testified to.
Well, the standard of care is in dispute. There were a number of providers, Dr. Bigelow.
Right, but the patients aren't going to be able to speak to that. That's a medical determination that requires expert testimony.
Right.
So the Matthews versus Eldridge question about whether he was denied due process because he couldn't cross-examine the patients seems to me is answered by that fact. Their testimony or their cross-examination would not have added anything to the main question in dispute.
Well, the issue is one of credibility.
He was admitting that he was performing the examination in a particular way that the agency's doctors said was inappropriate.
That they said was not necessarily what they would do. And in these circumstances, it's unusual because the better job that someone would do...
They said it was unnecessary.
Which was right. Well...
And apparently not disputed.
No, it was disputed. A number of providers opined that Mr. Riano's methods were within the standard of care.
The defense experts didn't say it was medically indicated. Your client's own experts didn't really support his position.
They testified that there's no specific protocol to be followed, and that within that greater universe of proper protocols, that his methods worked and were within the standard of care. Not that they would have necessarily used the same methods, but that his methods were within the standard of care. So I think it is important in a case like this where the credibility of Mr. Riano in terms of the nefarious intent that was ascribed to him comes from patients who had no complaints with the methods that Mr. Riano used until they were sent what can only be described as a very contaminating questionnaire explaining to them that they're a victim of inappropriate conduct and more or less asking them, what did Nurse Riano do to you? Was it exactly...
Counsel, do you have a response to Richardson against Perales? Secretary relies on Richardson, and Richardson held that live testimony is not essential in administrative cases, but written testimony can be sufficient. Your reply brief doesn't mention Richardson, so this is your crack at explaining how your position is consistent with Richardson.
I would think... When there's sufficient indicia of reliability in handwritten statements or in hearsay offered by an administrative agency, I think that rule holds firm. But here, where the...
Are you relying on some particular case for this?
I'm not. I don't...
So you're asking us to make up new constitutional law 230 years into the Republic, which the Supreme Court... when it had the chance to do it in Richardson, said was not what the Constitution requires?
No. The rule is that where a factual determination...
Counsel, the reason I ask this is Richardson said the agency can rely on written testimony, but there's always a safeguard because the affected individual, could ask for compulsory process to bring that person in live. You didn't argue anywhere that I could see that you asked for compulsory process and that request was turned down. Did you ask the board to issue compulsory process to bring these people in?
I don't believe that prior counsel did that. She requested...
Well, that's a problem, right? You've got this structure in Richardson. Richardson says the agency doesn't have to produce live testimony. Written summaries will do. But the affected person, the private person, can ask for compulsory process. And if there was no request here for compulsory process, we may not even have laid the foundation for getting to a due process argument. Not as Richardson saw it, anyway.
Well, I don't know how there could be compulsory process when the identities of the witnesses themselves were never...
Well, didn't Riano submit letters from 5 patients?
Who yes.
Described, so we had those 5 identified, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They were pressured by Cozart
yes.
in the interview trying to characterize his behavior as inappropriate, so those were known.
Right. There were a number of...
Of course, they were all known to the government. And in a criminal case where somebody wants to hold the identity of an informant secret, the defendant may ask for compulsory process to bring that person in, even though only the government or the judge knows that person's name. The problem I have is that there was no request. We don't know what the board would have done when the board was never asked.
Well, prior counsel sought the identities, the medical records, and I think it's clear from the record that she was seeking to conduct an investigation of those former patients that were unknown to Riano.
Okay,
I see my time
you,
is up. Thank you.
Mr. Pollack.
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Brian Pollack. I'm Assistant United States Attorney, and I represent the defendant in this matter. The defendant has basically argued he's been denied due process because of his inability to cross-examine all the witnesses presented. And as the court has pointed out this morning, I think that it is a overbroad portrait to paint that these witnesses were anonymous and that he did not have an opportunity to have the due process guaranteed to him.
Well, has the secretary or the whoever organizes these disciplinary appeal boards issued a set of procedures that covers things like getting hold of information by compulsory process?
There is an entire framework, and it's in the materials that were presented.
I have no idea what you're talking about. The materials.
The administrative record, Your Honor. I believe it's I believe it starts at page 160 to 175. It's the DAB. We call it the DAB framework. Title 38 USC 5 provides that the VA may construct its own rules and regulations for termination.
My question is, are there such rules? Presumably they're published in the Federal Register someplace?
In fact, the DAB has no subpoena power whatsoever, much like many other administrative agencies.
Could we just focus first on the question I'm asking?
Yes.
Are there published rules for the conduct of these proceedings?
They are available online, and they were presented to the plaintiff at the time of the administrative proceeding.
Available online. Are they published in the Federal Register? Answer yes or no.
I do not believe so.
So they're obviously not part of the Code of Federal Regulations.
That would be accurate.
So they're basically secret rules that maybe somebody would be let in on at the last minute?
The plaintiff was informed of those rules as part of these proceedings.
In writing?
Yes.
Given a copy sent?
Yes, and they are part of the record before this court.
And what did those rules say about witnesses and bringing witnesses?
As noted in our brief, we indicate that the chairman of the DAB has the authority to okay any witnesses that wish to be testify at the proceeding. Both sides in this matter presented their list of witnesses, and the DAB ruled upon the appropriateness of those witnesses.
If you could use real words.
Yes.
DAB is not other than a word for a little small unit of Brill Cream, is not a real word. It would help us. We're not specialists.
My apologies. It is right now it eludes me, it's the board. It's also for the board or the panel. It's a three-member panel of healthcare professionals. In this case, they were nurses who were the decision makers in this proceeding.
So have there ever been circumstances where the VA has allowed witnesses to be called?
Absolutely, and the hearing in this case went on for over 2 days. There were experts presented on both sides, as well as fact witnesses.
So let me ask you this: how is it possible to really discern from the record whether Riano's own admissions would be enough to justify his dismissal when every single finding by the appeals board appeared to rely on weighing his credibility against the written statements of undisclosed individuals? In other words, if he was just relying on the fact of his admission and then what the medical professional said, why even make reference to the statements by the individuals and place the credibility issue at stake?
The board or panel in this case, I believe, was entitled to rely on those statements, and they went to great lengths to tie those individual statements to Riano's own admissions. Our brief in this case goes to great length to insert facts from each and every one of the patients, 19 of them, to support count one, and Riano's own admissions. There's a whole list of what he said that corroborated.
And how is that viewed in light of the five statements that he provided, where it was some indication that they were sort of, I don't know if coerced is probably too strong a word, but somehow their statements were skewed by the investigator?
He does make that argument that they were skewed, and the government in this case goes to great lengths to point out that, in fact, there were only a limited number of statements, there was only interviews. Many of the patients provided written statements and used their own words to describe what, in fact, Riano did to those patients during the examination. For example, Riano describes the technique he used as an engorgement technique. He describes it as placing his hands at the base of the penis and causing blood to flow into that penis. The patients describe it, and it's characterized, really, for all intents and purposes, as masturbation, which is what he has done to his patients here, and which is what the reviewing board, saw this as. So Riano's own statements, he admits to that. He won't call it masturbation. He calls it his engorgement technique, and he minces words as to what happens, but it's obvious, and the board concluded in their findings, that, in fact, it was the same thing. And of the 19 patients who supported count one, these were not, in fact, anonymous to Riano. He was well aware of 11 of them and who they were. He, in fact, submitted a written response as part of his pre-termination hearing, identifying, he said he knew who these people were, and he put in writing as to why he did not violate, in his opinion, the standard of practice. And I would submit that Riano, in fact, was not denied the right to cross-examine his accusers, as he writes in his brief. In fact, I would submit that Riano was very happy that, in fact, none of the patients were called in this case. The agency wanted to call patients, including M1, who was the original patient in this case, who made their report to the Milwaukee Police Department. And, in fact, this was the patient who Riano engorged to ejaculation, not once, but on two separate occasions. Riano also did not call the investigator, Croissant, whose investigation was tainted and skewed, as the court put it, the entire investigation. They had an opportunity to cross-examine or present him. They chose not to do so. I submit that they did not want these people to testify, in fact, waived their opportunity to pursue this investigation vigorously at that level. And as far as, I'm sorry.
The board did make a judgment and apparently announced in a ruling form that the patients would not be called to testify by either side.
That is correct.
Okay, so we do have that as a concrete ruling by the review board?
That is, in fact, a ruling by the review board. They said it was in the interest of patient privacy. I would submit to this court that that's the government exercising its discretion under the third prong of the Matthews test. In this case, it was to protect these veterans from further humiliation, further debasement.
Right, and there was an opportunity for either side to challenge that ruling?
In terms of an appeal, neither side did that. The plaintiff in this case, I believe, asked several times for the right to have the names of the patients themselves and to call those individuals. I'm not sure if they attempted to appeal that to anyone, bring a motion in court, for example, to have that set aside. I don't think they did anything like that.
But the record will reflect a request that he be allowed to call them?
Yes. There are emails, and there was actually a formal ruling from the board denying that under the guise of patient privacy.
And had there been any evidence that the patients would not come forward? I mean, you know.
Well, in fact, there were, I believe, six witnesses, not five, that were had been submitted that were patients that would testify on Rihanna's behalf. And in fact, in the record, there are two affidavits submitted, ostensibly compiled by Rihanna's attorney at the time. These were submitted to show that Riano had not abused these patients, but a careful reading of both these affidavits corroborate what the government was saying in this case, that Riano did in fact, for all intents and purposes, masturbate these patients during the examinations. So those are available, and all the information that Riano wanted to submit from these patients was in fact in the record. Riano made no attempt to call any patient that was negative to him or would have supported the government's position at the time. For example, Riano didn't call M1, the original witness. He made no attempt to call M1, the original witness who went to the Milwaukee Police Department and complained of being sexually assaulted.
And he had his name.
Yes, because that started the entire investigation. That patient, M1, went to the Milwaukee Police Department, and then Riano was interviewed by the Milwaukee Police Department in regard to that patient designated as M1. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Anything further, Mr. Misfeld? Well, thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.